Jesus Christ, my living hope. What an incredible treat and pleasure for followers of Christ to have a living hope no matter how life is. I want to give us an update on our search for a kids ministry director. I encourage you to keep praying. We are continuing in conversation with an applicant that we are very excited about. Hopefully, next Sunday we can actually give you a name and talk about a process of where you'll get to meet her and interview with her, find her heart and just her passion for what could happen here for kids ministry and taking the great ministry God's already blessed us with and moving forward with that. I'm excited about that. So we'll be praying this week. A lot of things have to happen this week to be able to introduce her and give you her name next week. But we're hoping for that. And then after you get a chance to meet her, we'll have a congregational vote where members get to vote on her coming. But let's continue to keep that in prayer, if you will. So far, about 130 of us have had the privilege of being on one of our 1G1, one glorifying one, short-term mission trips. Some of those have been here in Wichita, and some have been in North Kansas, and some have been in Denver or New York City or Antigua or Brazil. For those of you who have been on a trip, one of these trips, I want to ask you a question. Think back to your trip. Are you glad you went with a team, or would you prefer to have done that trip all by yourself? It's like, there's no question. I'm glad we did it as a team. Or for those who go downtown every Sunday afternoon and just serve the homeless, are you glad you do that as a group, or would you rather that just you all by yourself did that ministry? Like, of course, I'd rather have a group. For all of us, think about a time in our life when we were surrounded by great friends. Might have been a sports team. Might have been a birthday party. Might have been college. It might have been pranking somebody. But whatever it is, life is better with friends. It just is. Think what life would be like if you were the only person on planet Earth. It would be awful, even if you're an introvert. It would still be awful. Today, as we conclude our Pursue series, our series about pursuing Christ and talking about the different characteristics of a fully devoted follower of Christ, we come to the characteristic of being connected to the body, of having some deep, transparent relationships, but a deep commitment to the whole body of Christ. It is life-giving. It is an essential part of pursuing Christ. So Ken, why is it that big of a deal? Why is it that important? Why are relationships that key to pursuing Christ? Because first of all, we were made for relationship. We were made for relationships. Take your Bibles and turn to the very first chapter of the first book, Genesis chapter 1, if you're using a Bible in the book rack in front of you. The verse we'll read is on page 2. Scripture teaches that there is one God, and that one God lives eternally in three co-equal eternal persons, and that God lives in perfect relationship. And in Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." And Scripture does not say what all is included in being in the image of God, but it emphasizes the reality that we're made in the image of God. And if God is a triunity, if God is Trinity, then I have to wonder, is relationship part of being created in the image of God? Genesis 2:18. God has created all kinds of things on the earth. In Genesis 2:18, he's created Adam, but he hasn't created Eve yet. And after everything God's created so far to this point, he stands back and he looks at it and he goes, that's really good. That's good. But when he creates Adam, he changes his tone and he goes, something's not good. Look at 2:18. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. It was not good for the man to be alone. Why? Because we're created for relationship. I realize that God cannot fill the void, that people cannot fill the void that only God can fill in our life. And I understand that. But there's something unique and wonderful about relationship. And Scripture says that singles are complete and valued. And singleness is honored in Scripture. And it's elevated. And there are advantages of being single over being married. And I realize that there's lots of other quality relationships other than marriage. But almost every single adult that I know longs to be happily married. Why is that? Because we're created for relationship. And a healthy marriage is an incredibly close and wonderful relationship. I also find it interesting that when we grasp that we standing before Almighty, perfect, holy God, we are sinful and there's a penalty for sin. And Jesus paid that for us. And we believe in Jesus' death as the payment for us. Not only are we forgiven and given eternal life, a new life with God, but the descriptions of Scripture uses to talk about us then are family kinds of things. We're part of God's family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Think of so many other descriptions that we have. We just had communion together. I'm told that word came from two words, common union. It's something that we have together. At the Lord's Prayer, we don't start, my Father who art in heaven. It's our Father. Because we were created for relationships. There's another reason that quality, healthy relationships are significant for pursuing Christ, and that's because we become like the people we are with. We become like the people we are with. Parents, if you want to know what trajectory your kids are on, get to know their friends. Because that's the trajectory they're currently headed on. Pastor Greg talks about how when he was in middle school, his parents moved from the east side to the west side simply to give him another start with different friends. Because the friends he had on the east side's bad, you know? No, not really. But the friends that he had on the east side both dropped out of high school. One is a drug addict, and one with his girlfriend pregnant. And his parents were wise enough to know that we're like our friends. So they moved to the west side, and by God's grace, Greg got connected with other Christian friends and came to personal faith in Christ. His life is transformed. He's a great pastor for us now. Who our friends are significant. Multiple times in Proverbs, it talks about the importance of choosing the right friends because we become like our friends. I put some of those references in your sermon notes. Turn, if you will, though, to Mark 3. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, using the Bible there in the book rack, it's found on page 1004. Mark 3, page 1004. Christ is choosing his 12 disciples. And in Mark 3, verse 13, it says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him, and he appointed 12. Why? That they might be with him. And then he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he choose 12 people that he would be with and he would give significant ministry responsibilities to? The scriptures don't say why, but he's the creator. He understands how we function. He only had a couple of years for these guys to be ready to pass, to carry on the torch after he dies and comes to life again and goes to heaven. And we become like the people that we're with. And he asked the disciples to come be with him. I don't know where I first heard it, but I love the wisdom in the statement. Don't choose people you like as your friends. Choose people you want to be like. Don't choose people you like. Choose people that you want to be like. It's so key to pursuing Christ. So I ask you, your best friends right now, be honest, your best friends, are they chasing hard after Jesus? Are they pursuing him? Do they have good and godly and growing character? Do they call you forward in your walk with Christ? Don't choose people you like as your friends. Choose people you want to be like, and as you get to know them, you will like them. I think a student's going off to college in a couple weeks, or a student's going back to school in a couple weeks. Even who you're friends with at work or wherever it might be, choose your friends wisely. Because you'll become like your friends. It's the way it works. Proverbs talks a lot about it. Students, notice it at school. You see a friend who's this way, and then they change to a different group of friends. And you watch, and they will change and become like their friends, either for better or for worse, depending on what group they've switched to. We become like the people we're with. Choose friends. Don't choose people you like as your friends. Choose people you want to be like. There's a third reason. It's so strategic, the relationships for pursuing Christ. And that is that we cannot fully pursue Christ alone. We can't fully pursue Christ alone. What are the two greatest commandments? Matthew 22, love God, love people. How can you love people if we're not in relationship with them? I think of all the one another commands and instructions of Scripture. How can we live out the one another's if we don't know people? I think of Hebrews 3:13. It says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. How can we encourage one another if we don't know them? And how do we know which part of sin's deceitfulness, which lies people are tended to believe if we don't have relationship with them? Or Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. How is it possible to carry another person's burdens if you don't know them? Don't raise your hands on this, but how many of us right now are carrying a heavy burden? Kathy and I are. Not as heavy as some of the burdens that you carry. I understand that. But I'm incredibly grateful for friends who help us carry that burden. For staff, for D group, for elders, for life group. Because when you carry a burden by yourself, it's really heavy. And it's difficult. See, we can't do the one another's apart from relationships. I know that will look different for introverts than it will for extroverts, and that's okay. But we still need relationships. See, that concept is this value of relationships that's behind the 1G1, the one glorifying one, short-term mission trip that's still coming up in Thailand in December. Imagine if you can, that you're a missionary wife. Your husband technically is the one that's employed, So he has the responsibilities, but you have this passion, this heart to be involved in this mission work all that you can, but you have kids. And a lot of time you're stuck at home doing something that you love very much, but you miss out on that connection with others in the mission work. But then the time comes when you get to go to a staff training together. You and your husband, your kids, you all get to go to this staff training. And you get there and you still have kids. So you miss the training sessions. And you miss the connection times that you so desperately need. The purpose of this next trip is to fix that issue for missionaries. It's the same missionary conference, the training conference that Kathy and I had the privilege of speaking at last year. You guys prayed so fervently and you had such impact over there with your prayers. And as we were there, there were other people that had come last year to do child care for the missionaries' kids so that husband and wife were totally free to engage and be together and to be refreshed and refueled while they were there. And we saw firsthand the incredible impact of missionaries being free to just be refueled and be involved in relationship. So there are eight people that we need for this. We've got four or five that are already signed up, ready to go. So there's three or four slots still available. If you're interested, the deadline is next Sunday. There's information in your bulletin, right about the middle of the page on the right. It's a gray shaded box. Ask Kathy, me, if you have questions about that, or call the office, but it tells you how to sign up there. But it's the whole concept of relationships, the importance of relationships that's behind that particular trip. We were made for relationships. We're influenced. We become like the people who are our best friends. We cannot fully pursue Christ alone. And I think most of us get that. Even introverts get that. They go, I need not as many, but I do need people. Well, we get that. But we struggle to live it. Why is that? Well, maybe because we try and that relationship doesn't work and it takes time to build relationships. But I think we all get that and we understand that it's a process. But there are some enemies to healthy relationships. And it doesn't matter what age you are, these enemies are there for every one of us. There's lots of them, but I want to talk about three different enemies this morning. The first is busyness. We're just too busy to have deep relationships. I think of Mark 4:19, and it's written about the scripture and all that. It says, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Well, the scriptures don't say it, but it chokes a lot of things. Yes, it does choke the scripture. That's what the scripture does say. But it chokes out relationships, busyness. We read all these kinds of pretend stories. If we want, you can look for them on the internet. But these pretend imaginary stories of how Satan tries to keep us from moving forward like we can in our faith. And I read a story this past week. It's pretend, but it's like this worldwide convention with Satan with all the demons. And he gathers them all together. And he begins by saying all these things that he can't do because of the power and the authority that's in Christ that he doesn't have. And that Christ is more powerful. And demons are like, well, then what can we do? And Satan goes, here's the plan. Get them to spend, so they have to borrow, so they have to work a lot, so they don't have time for relationships. Then he goes on and get them to do this and this and this, and it's all things that are non-essential to life, but are a very common part of the American lifestyle. See, Satan doesn't have to make us bad. He just has to make us busy. Because if we're busy, we don't have time for relationships that transform our lives. The first enemy is busyness. The second enemy is bitterness. People will let us down, and we will let others down. And people will wound us, and we will wound other people. And people will sin against us, and we will sin against other people. It's life. It's how it happens. And when it happens, we've got some choices. We can recoil and say, not me. I'm sticking up walls, and I'm protecting myself, so you can't do that to me anymore. Or we can retaliate. Or we can reconcile. And spend our energy restoring relationship. For some of us, the bitterness we feel is something that happened decades ago. But it's still there and keeps us from being free to engage in relationship. If you struggle with bitterness, let us know. You can put it on your connection card. You can come talk to one of us. We want to help you on that journey. We'll give you some resources to get you started. And by the way, whose responsibility is it to initiate reconciliation? It's always yours. Scripture says if someone has offended you, then you go. If you've offended someone, then you go. Either way, it says it's our responsibility to initiate. So there's busyness and there's bitterness. And the last enemy is me, my selfishness. It's there. I don't like saying it, but it's true. This is a very common enemy for me to relationships. And it might show up as self-protection. I'm not going to let you know who I really am because I don't want to get hurt. Or self-reliance. I really don't need you. Or self-centeredness. My life's really about me and my happiness, and you can interfere with that. Or my insecurity, which goes back to my selfishness. All enemies of this one thing that we need so much to pursue Christ. Adam shared earlier how relationships and just what you've done and your love has just so impacted him. I got an email this past week that was phenomenal. Someone just saying, the love of this church has absolutely transformed our lives. And there are a ton of people here who are in life-changing relationships that could come and share their story. But I've asked William Calderwood to come and just share a little bit about how relationships have impacted him.
Good morning. About 3 years ago, if you had asked me what my priorities were, what was really important in my life, my faith in Jesus Christ would have been right up there on the list, but going to church would not necessarily have made that list. The church I was attending, I was just attending. I would show up on Sunday, I would sit in the pew, and I would walk out after amen. And I knew something needed to change. I knew that church needed to be something more than just a place I went on Sunday morning. When I walked in the door of this church 3 years ago, I did not know a single person in this building. That first day, I was welcomed. As I began to regularly attend, I was given opportunities. I sought out opportunities to become more connected to this church body. I signed up for a connection class. I joined a life group. Through joining that life group, I became connected to the young adults in this church. Through that connection to the young adults in this church, I met a certain young woman. And about a year ago, I got to stand right here and say I do. Through those connections to this church, I have been challenged in my faith. I have been encouraged to go deeper through study and memorization of Scripture. I have been held accountable to do both of those things. I have seen, my wife and I have been encouraged by just seeing God work through the lives of our friends and our family here at the church, through our own lives. We've been given opportunities to serve the Lord in numerous ways. We were blessed to participate in one of the 1G1 trips earlier this spring. And it's just been life-giving to be truly connected and to just seek that deeper connection. And so I just encourage everybody There's always another connection you can make, I'm sure. Just seek those out. It will truly give you life. It will bring a new vibrancy to the scriptures, to your time in the Word, to your time here at church. And just, I'm running out of words, but it's I just can't encourage it enough.
Thank you, William. It is so fun to see how God changes us in relationships and what he does in our life, even giving you a wife. It's a great deal. So, you know, we talk about it and we all go, yeah, can I get it? But if we're not in healthy relationships, will we take the steps to change it? We say, God, I need you in this. It's not just me. It's in reliance on you. But if the enemy is busyness, then what will we do about it? If the enemy is busyness, I encourage you to look at your schedule and to be honest with how you spend your time. Very few of us probably have, I spend my time doing great things here and I spend time doing bad, evil things, so I'll take the bad, evil. That's probably not going to be us. We're going to say, I spend my time doing really good things, or maybe some neutral things. But there's not like bad stuff to cut out. So what is there? I don't know. I don't know your schedule. How many hours a week do you watch TV? Or are on social media? Or play video games? Maybe those could be shortened to give you time for relationships. If your struggle, quite honestly, is bitterness, will you take that journey of being set free? Again, if you need encouragement and help and resources, let us know. We will help you with that. Or maybe the struggle is just me. It's selfishness. And maybe you need to memorize and meditate on whoever seeks to save their life. Life is about them, and selfishness will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me in the gospel, Jesus says, will find true life. And repent of self-centeredness and self-absorbedness. Or maybe quite honestly, you go, you know what? My friends, my closest friends, aren't passionate followers of Jesus. And I need to find some friends I want to be like. And as I get to know them, I'll learn to like them. Whatever it is, it's worth doing. Because God made you for relationship. And you'll become like your best friends. And we can't fully pursue Christ alone. Let's pray, Father.